Doing great this morning. If you would please take your hymnals, and turn to page 227. 227. Praise Him, praise Him. Let's do all three verses as we stand and sing together. Praise Him. 227. Church. It says, this card says thank you, and it says to Barbara's Grove, you're the best. Once again, you have surrounded me with your love and prayers during my recent surgery. Thank you so much, and for the calls and beautiful cards and visits. You're all so special. God bless you, Janice Williams. Thank you, Janice. We're indeed glad to see you back. In the way of announcements, there'll be no evening services, but there will be a birthday celebration here this afternoon from 3 to 5. This birthday celebration will be for my mother-in-law, Ruth Whitley. So if you can, come by, and I'm sure to say hello to her. She would love for you to come by. A little report on her as well, as we're hoping to be able to get her home tomorrow. If everything goes well, that's our goal, and that's her goal for sure. So we'll do our very best to do that tomorrow. Tuesday, Stanley Baptist Annual Meeting at South Albemarle. All you delegates and be sure you be in your places and ready to go for that. And then Wednesday, Stewardship Committee along with Adult Bible Study and Kids Club. Next Sunday, our choir will rehearse. And then we've talked about the birthday celebration already. Now we have some thank you here for it. We need to acknowledge. Thank you for your generosity that people of North Carolina Missions offering. Our goal was 1,000, and we exceeded our goal by 1,145. Thank you all for that, and we appreciate what you've done there. And then October is Pastor Appreciation Month, and let's be sure that we acknowledge the fact and honor Pastor Ed and thank him for he and Pamela for all they do and their support. We need to do that and be sure you do that. Appalachian Christmas Outreach. Appalachian Christian Outreach is something we've talked about, and we all agree that we can help by our money and by also buying the things that go in those backpacks. If you have any questions about that, you see Jeff or myself, someone, and we'd be glad to help you in any way that we can. But let's try our very best. Jeff, you have anything you want to add to that this morning?
Yeah, just I'll let y'all know when the dates are going to be to go over and make some packs up, the rest of them, and then when they're going to carry them up there, you're more than welcome
okay.
to do
both. Okay, very good, very good. I will say this. The next one we'll talk about, of course, is our fall revival, November the 11th through the 14th. Fall revival will be held 11th through the 14th with Reverend Derek Cowan. And I got to tell you, I've had the pleasure to hear this man preach. And he's one of the most unusual, dynamic preachers I have ever heard. I promise you, if you will come, you will be impressed. And you will receive a blessing from the Lord.
Amen.
And you will have something to take home with you. I'll promise you that too. So I ask you to come and support him. Bring a friend with you as well. And then also, Truck or Treat Missions Project, October 31st at the Old SunTrust Bank Building. We will be doing that again on Halloween. That'll be at 5. We'll start at 5 p.m. We'll have some food there, and we'll have candy. And Rita's going to head this up for us. And if you will, bring your money for your candy or your candy directly to Rita. Rita, you have anything you want to add on that at all?
No, we do need the donations. And, you know, if you can't get to the store, you know, I can shop for you. Yeah, I'll take your money. candy, but, you know, I do need, whether it's candy or money, or it doesn't have to be candy to go in the bag. We're just going to make the treat bags and whatever it is. We're making 200 bags. And, you know, I just need everything here by next Sunday because I still have to pack the bags.
It's a great mission outreach. And I will tell you that since we started it some years back, it's continued to be a good thing. And we'll have company this year again across the way, Oakboro First Baptist, and then Red Cross will be teaming up across the way. The way I look at that is just be more people coming into the area. So let's be blessed and be known that we'll be there to pass the good news on about Christ as well at the Halloween time. So please be sure to come and support that. Our Baptist Men's Annual Barbecue will be November the 3rd. We have still, I want you to remind you that we still have Boston Butts on sale. And if you want to do that, we'll be sure you contact Jeff or me or David. And we'll be sure that make sure you order $30 a piece on the Boston Butts. Otherwise, we look forward to all your help. And you'll be hearing from me as far as kitchen work and what we need to do the Friday night before and all that. We're seasoned veterans now, so you understand what's going to be required there. So we'll be contacting you. Are there any announcements that I have overlooked? Oh, excuse me. We need pound cakes uniced for the barbecue. Everything uniced except the cherry pound cake. And that's that comes to me.
That's anyway. Not, that's,
is that a thing?
Uniced. Any and all donations accepted. Place of Fellowship Hall on Wednesday, October the 31st. Do that. Okay? All right. Anything else? One more. Oh, okay. Yeah, we did. We had a wonderful time. You want to talk
one
about that?
One time, I caught one this big.
That's Robert. Robert's telling us this is his fish story.
But he was actually.
we had a marvelous time together. We had a smaller group than usual, but I think God blessed us richly in our retreat, and we missed those that couldn't come. We miss you a lot, but God did bless us, and we had a wonderful retreat together, and we're just looking forward to doing it again, so come and be in your places on that. Anything else?
We got the date set for the next retreat, so it's the third week in March or April, and the one after that will be the third week in October, so there's no reason you can't be there. You got from
Amen. All right. If there are no other announcements, we will go. We will go to our prayer request at this time, and want to acknowledge those that we've already talked about this morning in our assembly. Bob Coley, we want to lift him up. Bobby, I know you've got some more tests ahead of you, and we pray that God will be in touch. I know he will. He's able. He's strong. He's awesome. Then we have Kemp Meggs and Brother Marvin's brother. We will pray for you and the family, Brother Marvin. We truly do. At a time of your loss. We also had a request to remember Jeremy Calcutt, and the son of with meningitis. So let's remember, he's an Aquadale, and we need to lift him up in prayer. Are there others that we need to remember?
Don't forget Eva Ann.
Oh, Eva Ann, that's right. We heard this morning Eva Ann has been taken to the hospital in Concord, Northeast, that she had a fall. And that's about all we know, right? Is that about all we know?
Yeah, Tommy's supposed to call me back when they find out something. Yeah,
so that's about all we know.
Yeah,
so.
Her
ribs.
Yes. Frank, who is in the picture that you just saw a while ago, he's a visitor with us in our retreat. He is his lady friend's mother, very, very ill, so we need to remember and lift her up. Thank you for reminding me of that. Anywhere else?
Gladys Hales, I know everybody knows her. She's a dear lady. Yeah. She had another stroke. She went to the beach with her family and had another stroke. That's her third stroke in a period of a month.
My goodness.
Her son-in-law is James.
Uh-huh. James.
So sorry. Anywhere else?
Leonard.
Yes, Don.
Hey.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, Don, we do need to lift you up.
You're coming up the 29th of this month.
Yeah, that's the one that was postponed and is now the 29th, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Rescheduled.
Okay. Remember Don, lift him up. Remember Teen Crisco. I don't think there's been anybody in this community that has supported community any more than Teen Crisco in all her lifetime. She always was there with some dumplings, right, Don? Always. But let's pray for her and her family, okay? Anywhere else? I'm going to ask Kenny. Kenny, if you would, please lift us up in a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, Father. We just want to praise your name and lift you up, Father. We pray that everything done here this morning be in true worship and honor in your name. Your honor, dear Father. Father, we know you're the creator of all things, and all things are possible with you, dear Father. And we look to you this time, dear Father. We just thank you for the privilege of having the help and strength to be here, dear Father. And we just ask you, dear Father, the times that we fail to give you the gratitude that we should, and recognition, and hold you up and lift you up, dear Father, that you'll forgive us for this, dear Father. Again, at this time, Father, we know there's many people here today, dear Father, that have got different concerns, different burdens, as the ones that have already been lifted up to you already, dear Father, in the announcements. Father, you know each need, each concern before we even pray about them. I mean, we just ask you to draw near to each person, the Father, and the Father, and heal them according to your most holy will, the Father, and let each person know that you are capable of doing all miracles, the Father. You are in charge, and you are the great physician, the Father. Again, the Father, we just come to you, we just ask a special prayer upon the ones that are serving in our country, the Father, foreign fields. The Father, we ask a special blessing upon the missionaries, dear Father. They're going to all parts of the world to spread your word, dear Father. Many times they're in persecution, dear Father. And we don't know all what they may be going through, but you do, and we just lift them up at this time. We ask you to be with the leaders of our country, dear Father. Give them wisdom, dear Father. We pray for our leaders, dear Father. They need your guidance. We pray that our country will get back on the path it needs to be, that truly honors you and worships you as it should. Again, dear Father, we just thank you for all the blessings you have given us. Ask you to be with us here today in our service to Father. Just, Father, help our hearts that we might be blessed, dear Father, and praise and honor you today. All these things, we ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Kenny. If you would, please take your hymnals again. Turn to page 483. 483. A little bit change from your bulletin, so turn to page 483, Footsteps of Jesus. Let's do 1, 2, and 4 as we stand and sing together, please. 483.
See you.
Our scripture today is found in John 13 and 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, and that ye also love one another, that they all may be as one, as thy Father art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Also, our focus today for the pastor search committee is found in your insert in the bulletin, and it is as follows. Pray for a miraculous sense of love and unity among all members of the church. Help us surrender all bitterness, division, and anger within our church family. Lord, empower us to love one another with a patient and forbearing love. I'm going to ask Ann Barbie. Ann, if you would please pray for our pastor's search. Come
Our dear Heavenly Father, we ask thy special blessings on our church, that we will have unity and love, that we have the power that you want us to have. Help us to pray for each other. Help us to love you first of all. Thank you, Lord, for having these people on the pulpit committee. Thank you for their love and their steady concern about our church. Yes. Lord, we know that you have a special person for us. Lord, thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Ann. Our choir is going to sing for you this morning a song that certainly we all of us that Christians have in common, that we're all sinners saved by grace.
Thank you.
shake somebody's hand.
Thank you for coming to the Lord's house this morning. Pray that you're blessed. I understand that Lionel is preaching for Patrick down at Moon's Chapel this morning. So even as we have our service, you know, another little corner of your mind, pray for him that the Lord will give him the words, the message that they need. I asked Tamara, she wrote him a good sermon, but she said she... you can turn to 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. You know, sometimes when we read these Old Testament passages, we say, you know, that's interesting, great piece of history, but so what? And yet, as we look at these scriptures, let the Holy Spirit speak to us, we can begin to learn some truths that are very, very important to us that will help us in our own personal walk with God. Now, one of the truths that this passage is going to show us is that this, and you know it's true in your own life, even when you're doing the best you can, sometimes troubles are going to come. Even when you're serving the Lord, sometimes troubles are going to come. We live in a fallen universe. Our world is full of trouble and woe and sickness and disease and war and everything else. And Jesus said, don't be surprised that these kind of things are going to happen. Our flesh always wants to lead us astray. Our flesh can get sick. And the devil can attack us. You're just going down the road, everything's cool, and then all of a sudden, bang, some type of trouble hits you. Let's read these first few verses here of 1 Samuel 30, and you'll see what happened in David's life. Came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. Now Ziklag was their home base. And had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burnt with fire. Their wives, their sons, their daughters were taken captive. That kind of thing ever happened? You know, David, they'd been off with his warriors. And when he comes back, the Amalekites had burned their city, kidnapped all their family, and of course, implied they took everything that was of any value. Gold, silver, clothing, anything that was of any value, they would have taken. So David comes home. He's got, you'll find later, 600 men with him. Everything is in ruins and their families are gone. Now the families have been kidnapped, not killed. And that's an important part of the story. And David and his family, soldiers, did exactly what you and I would have done. Verse 4, then David and the people that were with him lift up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. They cried their eyes out, as we say. They cried till they were too weak to cry. They were brokenhearted. It was just terrible to think that they had been off doing the Lord's work. They come back, great distress. Now for David, it suddenly gets worse. Verse 6, and David was greatly distressed. Well, he's already distressed because his wives and children, everybody had been taken. But he was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. There's a second truth there. Sometimes even your family and your friends get upset with you. Sometimes your family and your friends don't like you. Now, if you remember David in the cave of Adullam, when it says some of his family went to him and people that were distressed and in debt, and they came and they became a part of his soldiers. So some of these people had been in David's family. The others were men that had been with him for a long time. And suddenly they said, you know, if we hadn't have been off with David, let's stone him. Now, he's already torn up about his own wives gone, his own stuff gone. And now all of his soldiers said, let's just stone David. And it says he was greatly distressed. Wouldn't you be? Wouldn't you really be upset? Sure, we all would. To suddenly be turned on by those that we trusted. But here's the key. What's the last part of that verse say? Verse 6. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And that's where what your Sunday school lesson this morning fits perfectly. To learn to praise the Lord. To learn to honor the Lord. To learn to spend time with the Lord, even in difficult situations. Now, if you think about Paul, you remember in Philippi, he and Silas, they're beaten, they're thrown into prison. And not just any prison, they're in the innermost prison, almost like we'd say today, solitary confinement. And not just with the doors locked around them, they put them in stocks. Their backs are bleeding from the beating, the whipping. They're in the most confined part of the prison. They can't, you know, sometimes when you're hurting, it just helps to be able to stretch this leg that way or to turn this way. They're in stocks. They can't do anything. And it says what? At midnight, they praised the Lord, and they did it so loud that the other prisoners heard them. You see, Paul and Silas were encouraging themselves in the Lord. They were encouraging themselves in the Lord. In Isaiah 61, he talks about putting on the garments of praise. And I think I preached a sermon on that here a few months ago. You got up this morning? Unless you're just pretty destitute, you had a choice about what you were going to put on. You could have worn this shirt or another shirt or that blouse or that dress or a different tie or whatever. You chose what you were going to put on. And Isaiah talks about putting on the garment of praise. Talked about in your Sunday school lesson. Praising the Lord, honoring the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Folks, there are times in life when we just have to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Isn't it interesting how many times Paul writes in his letters, rejoice. Rejoice evermore. In everything give thanks. Over and over and over again. And you know, he wrote a lot of that stuff from jail. He wrote to people that were hurting, that were facing constant difficulties. And yet he kept saying, rejoice, give thanks. Paul, are you kidding me? We encourage ourselves in the Lord. And I find it very interesting. One little word in there. He doesn't say he encouraged himself in the Lord or in God. It says he encouraged himself in what? His God. Isn't that what it says? He encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. You see, David had a personal relationship with God that enabled him to spend that time with God to, okay, David had built up such a relationship with God over the past years that when difficult times came, he knew where to run. He knew where to go. David had learned some of this out as a shepherd taking care of his father's sheep. David had learned some of this hiding out when Saul was trying to kill him. When he was an enemy of the king. David had learned some of this in spending time with these men who were so troubled. But David had learned to spend time with God. Now, if you read the Psalms and read them all, you know, don't just pick out the 23rd and the 100th and a few of your favorite. If you read all the Psalms, David was very, very honest with God. You know, there were times he said, God, I don't understand this. There were some times he said, God, you need to get those guys that are after me. You know, David's very honest with God. God's big enough to take our concerns. If we, you know, approach him in a respectful manner, God is big enough for our questions. God can handle our hurts. And it says, David, in this time of difficulty, when his men were thinking about killing him, and when his family was gone and his stuff was gone, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Folks, that's a lesson for us. I know most of you have been through it. Difficult times in the past. If you haven't, just hold on, you will. And most of us, if we live more than another couple of weeks, we're going to go through something else, some way, somehow. It may be our own self, it may be in our family, it may be in our job. But we're going to go through some things. And David's example is a precious, precious example for us. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now there's a, goes on something else here. In verse 7, David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. Now we have, today we've got the Bible and we've got the indwelling Holy Spirit to guide us. The ephod was what they used in those days. It was sort of like a casting of lots to discern the will of God. So David, in this point, says, to the priest, I want the method of finding and discerning the will of God. Verse 8, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered them, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. The lesson in this verse, or these two verses, is this. In difficult times, always spend time with God and seek the will of God. David didn't have the Holy Spirit like you did. David didn't have a Bible like you have. But David had a relationship with God like hopefully we all have. And how important it is that we make in difficult times that we consult the Lord before we make decisions. You see, David, was facing a choice. Did he and his men just start over, find new wives and have new kids and accumulate new wealth, or do they chase after this force? Now, they don't know how big this force is. They don't know what they've done with their wives and their kids. At this point, all they know is that everything's gone and they're destitute and desolate. And so they're trying to decide, what are we going to do? We don't know what to do, but God does. And so they go to the Lord. He goes to the Lord in the way that they would do it in that day and says, Lord, do we go after them? Or do we stay here and just start over? And God says to them, go. Go. And God not only says go, but what does he say? Pursue, for you'll overtake them, and without fail, recover all. You're going to get it all back. God says go, you're going to catch them, and you're going to get it all back. God directed their paths. You know, it's so important that when we're having a difficult time that we seek the Lord. I was thinking about it again this morning and, you know, running back over all these years as pastor. How many times I've seen it where, you know, a husband dies and the wife, you know, she's so distressed and she goes home and everything she sees reminds her of him. So she sells her house and moves to Florida or Arizona. And 6 months later, she says, what did I do? I don't know anybody here. All my friends are back in North Carolina or wherever. My family's back there. My church is back there. Why am I in Arizona? Just made this decision without consulting the Lord. I've known a few situations where a spouse has died and the other spouse got home, got married again almost on the way home from the funeral. Now, you're supposed to laugh there. Almost on the way home from the funeral. Not quite that fast. Didn't talk to the Lord. Just say, hi, I can't be alone. Here's somebody's living and breathing. I'm in. And boy, did they live to regret it. What have I gotten myself into? Now, I've known a lot of happy marriages second time around. Guy I roomed with in seminary said his first wife left him. She was nuts. Literally. And he told me 10 years later, said, I wish she'd have left sooner. But he spent some time with the Lord before he chose that second wife. He spent some time with the Lord. You know, we can make all kinds of foolish decisions in our pain that we'd never make if we spent time with the Lord. David noticed this whole situation was not of his making. This whole situation had nothing to do with who he was or anything. It just happened. And David was brokenhearted over his own family. He was brokenhearted over the way his friends suddenly had turned on him. And yet at the same time, David knew what to do. He knew to seek the Lord. First, for encouragement. And then for wisdom and guidance. And as a result, I won't go through the rest of the story. They caught them. They defeated them. They got everything that was theirs back, plus everything the Amalekites had collected from other folks. So the end result in following the Lord brought blessing. But it went through a difficult time to get there. Probably 50 years more ago, and it's been more than that, 55, I guess, almost, there was a movie, Joy Comes in the Morning. And it comes from a scripture in Psalms, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Friends, we, as believers in Jesus Christ, we have something that the rest of the world does not have. We have a God who is a Father, who loves us, who cares about us. And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For what? For thou art with me. Be thankful of your relationship with your God. Be thankful for your relationship with a God who loves you, who is your Father. And be thankful that when you're going through the valleys, He's with you. Always with you. Encourage yourself in the Lord your God and in His promises. Seek Him in direction as to where to go. And watch Him bring you out of your valley into a place of joy, place of blessing. As we have our time of invitation, if there's somebody here that needs to receive Jesus Christ, you couldn't encourage yourself in the Lord your God because He's not yours. Would you come? If you need to come and rededicate your life or just come to the altar, would you come?
Please take your hymnals, turn to page 310. Out of my bondage, sorrow, and night. Page 310. Please stand, please.
I'll ask Bobby Williams to have our benediction.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessings that you have given us this day. Thank you for the peace of heart, and thank you for delivering us, O Lord, that we might rejoice and praise you, and thank you for all the wonderful things you have done in our lives and yes. blessed us with. And, dear Lord, we're just unworthy of such greatness that you have given us. And dear Lord, be with those who are sick and hurting. Be with Evianne as so she is there anxious, dear Lord, and just comfort her and bless her and heal her. And dear Lord, be with all the others that are in ER and in pain, dear Lord. And not only those in the hospital, dear Lord, but those who are on the streets and the alleys and the byways, dear Lord, that their hearts are hurting and aching, and dear Lord, wondering where their next mouthful of food is going to come from. Oh Lord, just help us show and do and bless them.